Welcome to The Firm Report, the show where we pull back the curtain on what it really takes to build and grow a successful law practice. Each week, we'll be talking with attorneys, marketing pros, and operational specialists from law firms around the country. We'll dig into real stories, smart strategies, and the practical tips that can help you grow your firm and serve your clients better. Let's get into it.
We get a lot of clients, a lot of word of mouth, and those are the best kind because they make me feel really good when somebody says, hey, listen, you got to call this guy Rich Jaffe because he's the greatest. His staff is the greatest. It really makes me feel good. But also people come to me online and they read a lot of reviews. I'm very thankful that a lot of prior clients have gone on to places like Google and Yelp and Facebook, and they leave a review of their real experiences, and what they mention attracts other clients. I'm not going to take a case just to take a case, just to say, hey, I got a case in. If I am not the best person to handle that person's case, I have no problem turning that person away and trying to direct them to somebody who perhaps has a different specialty than I do, or somebody who is a little more accustomed to dealing with that type of person. You know, an example of that is perhaps they speak a language that I don't speak. I happen to speak five languages, but a lot of people don't speak one of the five languages that I speak. So In that circumstance, you know, I feel that a client and their attorney really should mesh and be able to communicate directly. So in those kinds of circumstances, I will help them get to a better attorney.
Today, I have guest Richard Jaffe from Cohen & Jaffe. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, definitely appreciate you making the time in your busy day. And, you know, it seems like, you know, you've definitely had uber success in just in general as an injury attorney and a parent and just, you know, throughout just doing about everything you do, huh?
Well, I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate to have good people around me. I try to surround myself. They say if you're the smartest person in the room, then that's not the right room for you, right? So I try to surround myself with people who are a lot smarter than me and a lot more creative. And quite frankly, it's paid off. So I'm lucky. I'm thankful. And, you know, I hope that everybody around me also has continued success.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. You have a growing team over there at the firm, right? I mean, you're up to, you have 6+ attorneys and you have a growing support staff, I'm sure.
Yes. As a matter of fact, two people started yesterday. So, you know, we have a staff of about 25. You know, we used to be back in the day when we started, you know, we had about five people total. And, you know, it was me, my partner, a lot of wires sticking out of the wall in our office. And, you know, but we made sense of it all. You know, we expanded and we grew very quickly and probably a little too quickly because then we went up to about 50 people. Wow. And it was just a lot to manage. And I felt like the quality really was dropping off. So we had to cut back a little bit. And now we're really doing it the right way. So, we have about 6 attorneys now, 25 support staff, including a calendar clerk, receptionist. We have all kinds of specialists, intake specialists. And I'm really proud of my team. And I'm happy to have them working with me.
That's awesome. So you've had a practice now for 30+ years?
Wow, yeah, it's been, I'm getting old. I'm getting up there. So I've been in the business since 1988. I was a paralegal, and then I went to law school in 91 to 1994. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated, passed the bar, and I was finally sworn in 1995. And, you know, my first day, I'd been working at my firm. I wasn't a partner at that time. I was an associate attorney. I worked my way up to managing attorney, and then I became a partner somewhere around 2000. So, yeah, I've been doing this a little while, and, you know, it's been a good ride.
That's awesome. I mean, has it always been a straight line up for you or?
No, there's been ups and downs. There's been waves. There's been good times and bad times. You really have to persevere. You have to be strong enough to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you have to trust in yourself. You have to believe in yourself and also the people around you. If you lose that belief, then you will lose your focus. So make sure you forge ahead, stay steady, and it will come.
For sure. So you've surrounded yourself with great people. It seems to be, you know, aligning in what you've said a number of times here.
Yeah, I'm really grateful. I have my partner, Steve Cohen. He's about 20 years older than me, but I rely on him. He's very calm. He's an excellent businessman. He's great with clients. He really knows how to talk to people as people. So sometimes as lawyers, we lose sight of that because we're always in the courtroom. We're talking to other lawyers. We're talking to judges. We're talking to court personnel. We're talking to adjusters from insurance companies, and sometimes we lose a little bit of that personal touch. My partner really brings that back, and he is great with the clients, and people come to us because we are a very personable firm. We really try to get to know our clients, and it's not just something that is like a passing file. When a client comes in, we usually have them in the conference room, and we all, as a whole firm, usually talk to them. So as many people as we can, we get to talk to the client, and we really get to know the client and his or her family. I do injury work, so every injury affects every person differently. And without that personal touch, you're going to lose quality and really not do a good job for the client. So you really need to know exactly what's going on with your client and really get very granular when you're dealing with these kinds of cases.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenging field. I mean, I'd imagine when you're seeing injuries, I mean, just injuries, like when you see the more catastrophic or just like the bigger the injury, I mean, I can only imagine the impact, the ripples on just the family and friends and the career of the person who was injured. And
yeah, it's, you know, when somebody's in a car accident or trips and falls and they're the person who is really the money earner, the wage earner in the family, certainly that affects everybody in the family. But that's also something that I learned because I used to do a lot of volunteer work, both as a firefighter and a paramedic. And what I learned is there's the victim that suffered the trauma, but there's also other people around, and people like the family and friends and loved ones, and you really have to take care of them too, because they serve as the net to really catch the person who has been traumatized by an accident and an injury, and those people really are going to catch them. That's the first line of defense, so you really have to take care of them too.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's definitely the support that keeps them strong and allows them to carry on and persevere. I mean, when you're dealing with clients, I'd imagine an effective settlement is just not rolled over, right? So it could be a period of time between incident to actual, you know, what a person deserves from.
Yeah. And what's sort of bad is that there's crazy delays. COVID certainly didn't help things either. But for instance, in the Bronx now, when you go to the Bronx, which is a county in New York, not too far from me, and you have a case up there and you tell the judge, okay, judge, we're ready for trial. You actually have to wait. It used to be you waited for your trial for 5 years for your trial day. Once you say you're ready for trial, not from the beginning of the case, but from when you say I'm ready for trial, you're waiting 5 years to get that trial. It's now down to a little less than 4 years that they're trying to work on it, but still 4 years to get a trial, to get your day in court. It's really a very long wait, and it's very hard for these people to wait and suffer with their injuries all the while waiting for their day in court.
That's wild. I mean, it varies greatly throughout the country, right? As to even probably throughout the state of New York.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know, there's certain counties where it definitely is quicker, although not quick enough, many would argue. But, you know, the less populated counties, the middle of the state and also sometimes upstate, they're a lot less populated than downstate in the New York City metropolitan area on Long Island. So the cases tend to move a little faster there, but also you have to have the right team in your law firm to get that case moving. That's why I keep speaking so highly of my staff, because they're the ones that really make me look good by getting the work out. And when you know the client as well as we do, it certainly makes things a lot quicker as well. So we're efficient, we're quick, and we get the job done as fast as we possibly can.
And I assume you've had to have built up, you know, you have to have a constant flow of opportunities, or you've had to have built up a docket. It sounds like if you have something that you're fighting today, it might have come from a number of years ago. It's not even right at the moment.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. We get a lot of clients, a lot of word of mouth, and those are the best kind because they make me feel really good. When somebody says, hey, listen, you got to call this guy Rich Jaffe because he's the greatest. His staff is the greatest. It really makes me feel good. But also people come to me online and they read a lot of reviews. I'm very thankful that a lot of prior clients have gone on to places like Google and Yelp and Facebook, and they leave a review of their real experiences, and what they mention attracts other clients. So we get those clients to come in as well, but we also have to limit our practice a little bit, because if it's something that we really can't handle, or really, I'm not going to take a case just to take a case, just to say, hey, I got a case in. If I am not the best person to handle that person's case, I have no problem turning that person away and trying to direct them to somebody who perhaps has a different specialty than I do, or somebody who is a little more accustomed to dealing with that type of person. You know, an example of that is perhaps they speak a language that I don't speak. I happen to speak 5 languages, but a lot of people don't speak one of the 5 languages that I speak. So in that circumstance, you know, I feel that a client and their attorney really should mesh and be able to communicate directly. So in those kinds of circumstances, I will help them get to a better attorney. So I think people appreciate that as well. It's a certain level of honesty and transparency that I think really the profession lacks. And so I'm trying to bring it back.
For sure. In the injury space, there's a number of types of injuries that people might suffer, and, you know, venues that they might suffer in, you know, from an automobile to a construction site to, you know, to being on a cruise ship. It's just it's a wide variety. What areas of specialty do you really, you know, try to, you know, really service?
Well, we do a lot of motor vehicle accident work, and also lately we've gotten a lot of motorcycle accident cases in. I personally ride myself, and people call me the riding counsel. I ride with a lot of motorcycle clubs, and many of them. For instance, there's one that the Blue Knights, they're comprised of a lot of retired police officers and law enforcement. And I am usually the only person who is non-law enforcement, but they like to ride with a lawyer. So I ride with them. And there's other kinds of groups like that as well. And because I ride, and because I go to a lot of the charitable events and support these clubs, they come to know me, and whenever they have a problem, they give me a call. And unfortunately, you could be doing absolutely nothing wrong on a motorcycle and get hit by a car, because there's some of the most aggressive drivers in the New York City metro area that I have ever seen. And when you're on a motorcycle and you get hit by a car, you're gonna get hurt. You can wear as much protective equipment as you want, and it certainly helps, but you're going to get hurt. And so when that happens, they call me, and I'm happy to talk to them about it. And when they start talking about things, you know, I mentioned before, I speak five languages. You know, I guess I should call it six, because one of them is motorcycle. Because when somebody tells you they've been riding a motorcycle and they're using the clutch, they're using the brake, they did a high side, they did a low side, whatever the terminology that they use, I'm going to understand it, whereas another lawyer might not. So it's a real relationship to the client, what they're saying, and understanding exactly what they're saying and how the accident happened. And that's really crucial when you're trying to get the best results.
Yeah, and there's different types of riding. You know, there's different types of bikes out there too, and there's a lot of layers to it. And yeah, unfortunately, if you're in a motorcycle accident, it's probably going to be relatively catastrophic, because it's like you don't have the exoskeleton that a automobile does, unfortunately.
Right. There's a lot that you can try to do. There's airbags. I've seen sport bikes riders with these airbags. So if they get pulled off the bike somehow, the airbag inflates. There's all different kinds of helmets. There's half helmets, full helmets, modular helmets. There's all different kinds of safety equipment. But when you get knocked off a bike, especially if you're going on the highway, you're going to get hurt. It's just a matter of how badly, unfortunately. But again, it's important to understand not only the client, how it happened, but you got to understand what their injury is and how it affects them.
Understood. You know, being a owner-operator of a business myself, sounds like you've been an owner-operator for 30-plus years. You know, it's sounds like one of your non-negotiables is getting out there and riding. And, raising a couple of kids and I read your bio, so, we talked a little bit offline, being a parent, coach of their sports. What are some of your non-negotiables that, aspiring attorneys out there, a lot of people don't, make time for life. I think when you talk to people about work, it's so important. Right. So, as you've been, working for a few decades now, what are some of your non-negotiables or things that you always make the time to do?
Well, one of my core values is family is first. Family will always be first. So I'm talking, when I say family, most of the time I'm talking about my own family, my kids, personally. I mean, my kids are probably the most important thing in my life. My son is 21, my daughter's 20, and they went through the school system here, which is a fabulous school system. I try to instill values in them that are important to me and now important to them. But sometimes family is other people. Family can be my employees at times. Family can be my friends. But when you know who your family is, they must always come first. And when that takes place, when you have that in mind, then you can say you work for a living, but it's really who you are that transcends both your family life and when you do work. So people at work will understand your value systems, and you will attract that positivity, and that will lead to success. But what my non-negotiable is, family will always be first. That's it.
That's awesome. Definitely. Yeah, I believe that all of us out there that are working or driving, essentially our organizations, that our work is almost an art form in a way, right? It's a reflection of who we are, what we've built over a period of time.
That's true. And at the desk of every employee of mine, I have there's core values, the core values of my firm, which essentially is my core values, and the core values of my partner. And of course, one of them is family first. Try to be better today than you were yesterday, and things of that nature. And it's posted at every single desk. So we always have that in mind. And when we do anything, we always could go back to that set of core values. And one of those core values has to serve as the basis for what we do, how we answer the phone, how we write our papers, how we treat clients, how we treat each other in the office. And without this code, then, you're going to be a little misdirected. But always going back to that code of ethics, if you will, those values, that's really going to help anybody who is in business for a long time. And it helps you on a personal level, too.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. Have you had any, it sounds like you've been mentored on the way by your partner, or have you had any specific mentors or coaching programs that have really helped impress upon the practice or help you get to the levels that you're at today?
Well, my partner, Stephen Cohen, I call him my life guide and my guardian angel, and he's been there for some very hard times in my life, and I really appreciate and respect him. It's great to have somebody like him, who's a little older than I am, to go to and really draw upon his life experiences. And also, I've taken part in a program that's run by a place called Eight Figure Firm. And it's really helped me define all my goals and how to accomplish them. It's they meet quarterly on a live basis, and they meet monthly on sort of a Zoom basis. And you also have access to various coaches throughout the month if you really need. But that's really helped me focus on what I want to do and how I want to do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. I've studied some of it's Lewis Scott, right? Some of the work that he's been
that's
doing.
Right. And, that's right.
Yeah, he's actually practiced. Yeah, so from compared to some of the other coaching programs out there, you know, he's actually sharpened his own axe. You know, he grinded for a number of years, and now he's, you know, I guess he's trying to have more of a multiplier effect or an exponential effect on just the trade itself. So it's pretty impactful.
Yeah, he's great at what he does. He's a really good man. Always makes time for people like me who want to call with questions. And he runs a really super great program. I highly recommend Lewis Scott, and I highly recommend Eight Figure Firm.
That's awesome. And, you know, going along those lines, can you, you know, tell us about, you know, a time or a moment that, you know, you really drove results, you know, for whether it's for a client or, you know, in life or even for your team, which it sounds like your team is, you know, most, it's very important. It's your family in a lot of ways. Can you speak to that? Just, you know, just a true aspect of driving results.
Sure. Well, I would say just off the top of my head that when you go from, say, 5 employees to something like 25 or 50 employees, it's really hard to keep everything together. Usually it's a lot of chaos when you have a lot of people working at the same time and it happens so fast. So you really have to maintain your certain set of goals. And we use KPIs. We use a lot of numbers and facts and figures, and we keep track of so many little things. And it was hard to convince people when we started at my firm doing all of this. But once we did start, everybody saw the effects of keeping track of all of these numbers, because if we increased one number, for instance, if we increased intakes, then it would increase our bottom line a few months later, and they saw the corresponding effects. So together with my team and certain leaders in my firm, I was able to explain to them the importance of concentrating on one key point of what our practice is doing, and that's going to have a ripple effect throughout our entire firm, and that's exactly what happened. So I'm very thankful to them, and I'm thankful that I was able to be able to communicate what I was trying to do with them, because that certainly led to a lot better numbers and a lot better feeling in the office. It really creates a feeling of power and positivity with everybody, and that carries forward during anything we do. Whether it's a phone call or appearing in court, it really becomes evident.
That's awesome. It sounds like having your core values aligned and being able to communicate those through the firm have really helped make a difference. And I'm sure that impacts the clients you serve.
100%. It's fantastic. It's a really good idea to make sure that all your clients or all your staff knows what those core values are and base whatever they do on one, or at least one of those core values. And doing that will have such a great effect on themselves and also the people around them.
Were there certain life events that drew you into the legal trade?
Well, yes. So first of all, the ability to speak a different language other than English really helps, because there were people who were in situations that they were victims of negligence and they didn't know where to go. And being able to communicate with these people directly certainly helped. And I learned that really early on. I must have turned maybe 20 or 21. I was a paralegal and I was acting as an interpreter for a lot of clients for the lawyer who I was working for at the time. So when we went to court or when we, you know, the client came in and we were doing an interview, it was great to be able to communicate with them directly. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately along the way, I lost my mom and I lost my dad to unfortunate events leading to their death. So most of that involved malpractice. And it was a very helpless feeling, because when my mom was concerned, it was a doctor who really misdiagnosed her. But that misdiagnosis didn't really become known until after the statute of limitations to sue that doctor had passed. And that doctor, of course, kept silent. So we didn't discover it until well after. And not only was my mother victimized, but I was victimized, as was my entire family. And I could only imagine that happening to others. And I just really wanted to prevent something like that to happen. So I figured the best way to do that is to become a lawyer and try to be the voice of people who really didn't have a voice. So I went to law school. I did what I had to do. I worked during the day. I went to law school during the night. And I feel like I have a very strong work ethic that really serves clients well. And I think they understand that. I think they feel that. And that's why they keep coming back.
That's awesome. Well, definitely, Richard, I appreciate you taking the time to join our podcast today and speak to us about your journey and everything you've done to drive results for your clients and your team and your family. And it's a great story. So I really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate your time. So it's nice to talk about these things. So best of luck to you and all. Listen.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of The Firm Report, brought to you by Exults, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights. If you enjoyed the conversation, make sure to like, subscribe, and share the show with someone who'd find it valuable. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.